It's the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. Good morning on the 14th of November, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com and stop by your local branch. CJ Miller checking in today with the news from Kansas City, including what the possibility might be for a trade war with Mexico, and catching up with a Purdue student at our farm broadcasting convention this week in KC. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin weighs in on additional rain possibilities today. And yesterday, another sell-off in grains and oilseeds. Tom Fritz has the analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Could there be a possible trade war between the U.S. and Mexico? And you'll meet a Purdue student from Bartholomew County who would like to do my job. I'm CJ Miller on the road in Kansas City, reporting from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, tariffs are the talk of the ag industry now that President Trump has been reelected as president. On Monday, Mexico's economic minister suggested placing retaliatory tariffs on U.S. products if President Trump follows through with a plan to impose 25% tariffs on Mexican imports if they continue to allow illegal immigrants to pour into the U.S. Dan Hallstrom is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He says the trade relationship between both countries has been going strong for too long to go sour.
The fact that we have such a long history with Mexico and Canada, for that matter, through NAFTA and now USMCA, and it's turned into one of the most important agricultural relationships for the industry as a whole, and definitely in the case of, in our world, the U.S. beef, pork, and lamb, for that matter. It is the largest for pork, the largest customer, and one of the largest for beef and lamb. So I think that in the end, cooler heads will prevail.
He says that both countries rely heavily on each other for trade.
And you could argue that we're a bit reliant, especially on the pork side with Mexico, and our ag economies are very intertwined. So, yeah, I think in the end, we're very optimistic that this will all be worked out in a way that should benefit both sides of the border.
Meanwhile, how does Hallstrom feel when it comes to the possibility of Trump raising the tariffs on China and entering into a trade war with them?
China is what it is, and industry will react accordingly. Our trade will. And I think it's a very important market. That being said, we're busy diversifying to the extent possible with a lot of other markets as well at the same time.
You can hear my full conversation with Dan Hallstrom at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, joining us this week in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention is a group of students from the Purdue University Ag Communicators of Tomorrow Club. I had the chance to chat with one of those students this week.
This is what I'm really interested in doing and really passionate about.
And that's Marnie Schwarzkopf from Bartholomew County. She's also a senior at Purdue University with a focus on ag marketing.
I really want to see myself in an ag marketing and communications role where I get to work with people but also get to be creative. Those are my two passions. I had an internship this past summer, which is really, really awesome, with BASF Ag Solutions, where I kind of got to learn the nitty gritty. But I was at a desk a lot for the summer, and which is really, really awesome. But I love people. I love talking. And so I'm really, really excited to be in a role in 5 years where I'm really passionate about advocating for the agriculture industry, but getting to use my skills in communication and creativity and really just foster that gap between producer and consumer.
She says she's become very curious with what we do here at Hoosier Ag Today.
And I'm kind of just really interested to learn about farm broadcasting as a whole. I switched into ag communications after 2 years. I was in ag ed, and so I'm kind of just a sponge right now, soaking up what all AgCom has to offer and just trying to figure out exactly what path I'm going to go down. And so I'm really just excited to soak it all up and put it towards my career.
With Marnie's passion for agriculture and her talent for communication, I asked her if she was here to try to steal my job away from me.
I am not, although that would be nice.
You can hear much more of my conversation with Purdue student Marnie Schwarzkopf from Hope, Indiana. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. On the road, reporting from Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A significant round of moisture trying to work its way through the area here today. All activity started last night. We saw some decent thunderstorm activity downstate. But as we move through the rest of the daytime hours today, honestly, it's mostly over. Light shower activity will hang around through probably midday. Clouds hang around through sunset. But I think additional moisture here today is going to be on the order of a few hundreds to a few tenths. The bigger activity already had settled in last night. Now, as we move forward, we should turn into a dry weather forecast pattern again for tomorrow through the weekend. Decent sunshine tomorrow and Saturday. A few more clouds around on Sunday. Clouds mostly an offshoot of a cold air advance over the upper Midwest that triggers some clouds back across the Corn Belt. However, I don't think those clouds bring any moisture. We're dry then to start next week, Monday and Tuesday. Watching a weather system try and come together, though, to the west that looks very, very interesting. Now, to be clear, I don't think this system brings us a lot of moisture. We'll keep the door open to a few scattered showers maybe on Tuesday, well, Monday night into Tuesday. But I think that first round is going to be largely hit and miss. The bigger story for this system is the low that gets cut off back over the western Corn Belt and upper Midwest, and it wraps around and draws down some significant cold air for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. The cold air right now looks to dive down all the way to the Gulf Coast. So this is going to be our pattern-changing surge of cold air. It parks over the top of us then through next weekend, the 23rd and 24th. I think we see some lake effect cloud cover and maybe even a little bit of sloppy wet snowflake action near the lakes. And then going into the following week, the week of Thanksgiving, we continue to be chilly to start. There's warmer air trying to surge in, but I'm not sure it wins out. So after a very long-term pattern of warmer than normal temperatures, it looks to me like we break that pattern substantially the second part of next week. So get everything else you want done now. It's going to be a little bit more, well, not so nice as we finish out the month of November. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, beans, and wheat lower again. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis, and I got that at the end of trade from Tom Fritz, EFG Group. Tom, another day of liquidation. Corn, soybeans, and wheat, it seems to be a constant drumbeat this week of lower markets. Nothing different on Wednesday, and the same story as well as far as the soy complex. Lower in oil, meal followed as well. And no flash sales for soybeans, a bit of a problem, although we did see more corn sales.
401,000 tons of corn sold to Mexico, and just shy of 291,000 tons of corn sold unknown. It was a late arrival. Normally the USDA comes out with this stuff promptly at 8 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. your time. But it didn't come across my newswire until like 4 minutes late. So I think with that said, some folks might have missed it. But, you know, bottom line is the corn market continues to be under pressure, selling off from the highs we saw late last week. Spreads tightened, however. Cash markets continue to have a firm bias. Export market has turned mixed on us. But spreads tightening is all about the basis levels, but, the lower flat price, right now, it's my opinion, it's called politics in the marketplace. You know, the president-elect has said, okay, we're going to start enacting tariffs against countries we don't like that we think we've been taken advantage of. Now, whether that includes Mexico or not, that remains to be seen. Now, we haven't seen any China business to speak of. So then what was it earlier today? COFCO, a big Chinese agri firm, came out and said China's only going to take 98 million tons of corn this year. The other day on the latest USDA supply-demand report, USDA said, well, China's going to take 109 million tons. So here you have an 11 million ton discrepancy. So, and, you know, so what are you going to do with that? But also, you know, some of the president-elect placements in some of these higher offices, like the head of EPA, word is that he's not a friend of biofuels. That got into bean oil yesterday. It weighs a little bit on corn, but, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, we've been leaning on this big biofuels program, and here we're going to have a new EPA director who's not a fan of the biofuels. So, you know, we'll see how that goes going forward. But, you know, I think that's works against the corn market because of ethanol. I think it works against bean oil because of the sustained aviation fuel. Also, strength of the dollar. This dollar is relentless in its climb higher. In fact, we're not that far away from a 23-month high in the dollar. And definitely the dollar is going to weigh on exports if it stays this strong. Earlier this morning, we had some economic news that suggested inflation is still with us. In fact, the inflation numbers were a shade warmer than expected. So that's going to help out the dollar because, you know, if inflation sticks around, that means we're going to have decent-sized interest rates and gives you a better return on the dollar. So, you know, I think that weighs on us. The wheat market, to me, it's a combination of everything. Well, number one, we have no export business. We're not competitive with anybody. Last time I checked, you know, if we're comparing ourselves to Black Sea prices, we're $10 overpriced. And that's just on a flat price basis that hasn't factored in transportation. So, you know, the wheat market goes wanting for business. And, you know, the winter wheat is going to go into dormancy in pretty good shape. We saw an improvement yesterday afternoon on the crop condition report, went to 44% good to excellent. Still, it's not the best. It compares against 47% a year ago. But the bottom line is there's more moisture on the way for the winter wheat areas. And, you know, couple that with a lack of business and a stronger dollar. And it says the wheat market is, you know, the path of least resistance is lower. It's looking for business. And so far, it's not finding any. Soybeans, you know, it's to me, it's politics in the marketplace. You know, the president-elect has talked about tariffs against the countries he feels that are taking advantage of us. And one of those is China. And China soybean business has been minimal compared to what they're taking from South America. Soybean oil. As I mentioned a little bit ago, soybean oil is on the defensive because of the head of the new head of the EPA. He's not biofuels friendly. And what was it the other day? California passed a law that soybean oil will not be used in its biofuel program because of its high carbon output. So bean oil continues to backtrack. Soybean meal is no help. You know, new contract lows. You know, what can you do with new contract lows? How friendly can that be? Now, granted, the soybean meal market's not plummeting lower, but it's a grind lower. And, you know, I think that's due to greater availability of meal in the domestic marketplace. Domestic basis levels for meal are definitely moving lower. Export market continues to stand in, but I think the domestic market, the availability, the increased availability is weighing on the meal market. So Bottom line is, for the near term, the ag sector has no friends.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom with EFG Group in Chicago. Now, the Wednesday settlements, just a couple lower in the corn market. Dece 426 and a half down two. March 437 and a half down two and three quarters. May 444 and a quarter, 3 cents lower. Two and three quarters down on Jan beans, coming well off the lows, 1007 and three quarters. March 4 cents off, 1018 and a half. And May down almost 4 cents. The weak side leader at the end, December wheat, 541, 11 and a quarter lower. The meat's down as well, although some deferred contracts higher. December live cattle, 184.02, down 37, 47 cents lower. December lean hogs, 81.87. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.